Good morning, everybody. Welcome to United Kingdom Radio. This is Tom Harris Live coming at you from Chicago, Illinois. And it is 10:05 a.m. here in Chicago, which is 4:05 p.m. over in the UK. And it is October 2nd today. So if you are listening at October 2nd at 10:05 a.m., then you are listening to us live. If you're listening at any other time, then you are listening to a pre-recorded show. And we've just have this new setup here at United Kingdom Radio that Chris and Terry have worked very hard on. And it all sounds very good, doesn't it? You know, I actually think that it makes the process of, you know, the transition between shows actually easier. That is my opinion of it. It does seem to be working quite well. So, so Chris is saying, oh, yes, that I've gotten in. And fantastic. Yeah. Anyway, today is October 2nd, as I said. We are having a crisp fall day. Autumn, for those of you in the UK. The first of the shows of autumn, I think. Was it last week? Wait. You know, no, I guess last week was autumn as well. But today is really kind of the first dedicated autumn show here on Tom Harris Live. Now, I'm coming to you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, here in the United States. Now, when I say it's a crisp day, you know, it's one of those things that's really, really difficult to put into words. What is a crisp day? It doesn't seem as though that is an adjective that goes well when you're talking about day, but it is lovely outside. I've just been outside. I went and got some coffee. Coffee, yeah, and I've got my coffee right here next to me, trying not to knock it. Actually, I'm going to move the coffee. I'll move it to somewhere else. Actually, I'm going to take a sip of coffee first. Lovely, yeah. Unfortunately, my favorite coffee shop here in Chicago, the one that was closest to me, has actually closed down, so I have to go a little bit further to a different coffee shop, which is a couple blocks away, but it's not quite as good, quite frankly. But unfortunately, I don't have any choice now. Anyway, today's topic, as some people may have read over on Facebook, incidentally, you can go to my podcast community, the Tom Harris USA podcast community over on Facebook, and join that if you like. And over on Facebook, I said today's topic is the best and worst advice that you've had. Good advice, bad advice. And I have more to talk about on that, but just kind of think about it, folks. And I'd love to hear from some people today. I'd love to get some calls today. What is the best advice you've ever had? And what is the worst advice you've ever had? And you can Skype into the show if you like. You can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. Or if you're in the UK, the phone number is 020-0387-1488, and that is a local London number. That's not a premium rate number. But this has been an exciting week, sort of. I mean, not exciting in the sense of jumping up and down and screaming and yelling and running and getting away from large objects moving towards you. No, it's been an interesting week because I got spoofed this week, folks. Yes, I got spoofed. And some of my credit card details got to the wrong person. It is just terrible. Basically, I bought something online, and somebody got a hold of my number in the process of buying something online. So it was a flurry of activity starting on Monday. I got a call from my bank, and they're saying, look, we see this suspicious activity on your credit card account. So what would you like to do about this? And they kind of read off the charges. There were four, and things that I didn't recognize. I didn't recognize any of them. So I said, cut it off. I don't want any more charges on this card. They had to cancel my card, and then they sent me a new one. Chris Reardon over in Royal Berkshire. Hello, Chris. Is saying the best advice that he ever received: don't marry her. Ooh. I think we know how that turned out too, didn't we, Chris? You ended up marrying her, didn't you? You did. You did. I did. I made the same mistake. But I'm not, I'm not going to say that me getting married was a mistake. You know, I've sometimes said that, and I've kind of thrown that around kind of casually. But at the time of my life when I got married, of course, I got married way too young, by the way, and that's a piece of advice I would give. Don't get married when you're under 30. Get married after that. But, you know, at the time it made sense. And, of course, it may come as a surprise to some people that I was married at all, you know. And but I really have to say, you know, yeah, Chris is agreeing with me. Ha ha, yes, he says, yeah, don't get married until after you're 30. Definitely not. I think that before you're 30, you really are still figuring out who you are. And I think that's especially true now. I think, you know, back in the past, people were forced to be independent at a much younger age. And they were able to make these decisions for themselves at a much younger age. But I think today, you know, people are so coddled and protected and, you know, overprotected even in a lot of cases, I think. And I don't think that people are accustomed to making decisions for themselves now until they're well away from home. Chris saying he was 21 when he got married. I was 18 when I got married, Chris, so I got you beat there. He wants to be 21 again. Yeah, I would like to be 21 again, too, to be quite honest. yeah, you know, I used to have brown hair. Like, Chris used to have hair. Yeah, there's no sense in crying about it now, Chris. You know, as much as I would love to go back and be, you know, healthy and 21 and slim again, that's not happening anytime soon, is it? So anyway, what I was saying, you know, I think people are really kind of overprotected now, and they are dependent on their parents, I think, a lot longer than maybe our grandparents were. Because I can remember my grandparents talking about how, you know, they had a lot of freedom when they were kids, but they were kids in the early 20th century. You know, they were kids in, you know, 1912. And, you know, you didn't have the sort of paranoia of kids running around and having some independence and freedom and being able to do for themselves that you have today. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, whether, you know, kids are actually being protected more by this or not. But I didn't want to get into that deep of a discussion. Maybe we'll go back to that if people would like to talk about that topic, of course. And they, you know, if you do want to talk about that, feel free to Skype into the show. The Skype address is United Kingdom Radio. Incidentally, you can also get a hold of me by email. It's tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk, or you can use my other email address, which is tom@tomharrisusa.com. Speaking of which, I am working on an episode of Tom Harris USA, which may surprise some people because I've kind of put that show on hold. I haven't been doing anything, but I am actually working on a show right now, folks. And I do have some other stuff that I'm working on, though it's kind of going slowly. You know, I have this other podcast that I've been trying to get together, and I have a co-host, and we're trying to get the bits and pieces put together and trying to get things up and running. And the problem has been the two of us connecting, my co-host and I, because he lives over in Finland, and I live here in Chicago, and there's an 8-hour time difference. So it does make it more difficult for us to find time when we're online together. But I think it'll get easier as time goes on. And I think the snow is going to be starting in Finland pretty soon. So maybe he'll have a little bit more time to be on the computer. But, you know, he likes to get outside and do stuff, as do I. I mean, I like to go out and spend a lot of time outdoors. Now, Mikey Holt, you know Mikey Holt, who everybody talks about on their shows, he reckons that it's weird that I like going outside and doing stuff. Now, and to me, the idea seems almost horrifying because I love being outside. I love going out and, you know, being in the woods. And of course, right now I'm interested in geocaching, and that is a big part of it. And I, you know, being outdoors and just getting fresh air. I mean, and as I was saying, you know, today is one of those days. It's, you know, just one of these perfect autumn days. The leaves haven't started changing yet, really. But it is lovely outside. Absolutely gorgeous outside. So anyway, if people want to talk about the best pieces of advice they've had or the worst pieces of advice they've had, feel free to Skype in. Now, I do have some features today. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to lead off with Chris Reardon Has Decreed. Live from the Whiskey Glass Studios, it's
Chris Reardon.
I love it.
And on Chris Reardon Has Decreed. Now, Chris Reardon has been decreeing all sorts of stuff this week. I tell you, I can't even begin to tell you, and because it's been through email, I can't really share it with you, but I do have a clip here. I have a couple clips here. It's really interesting because I'm going back through Chris Reardon's old shows and, you know, finding these Chris Reardon Has Decreed clips. And so I was actually listening to a show yesterday from 2008. And I'm kicking myself now. I've lost the perfect opportunity. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Chris Reardon, incidentally, this week celebrated a very special anniversary. Yes, 5 years of United Kingdom Talk as of this past week. Fantastic.
I love it.
Congratulations, Chris, for that. That is a real milestone. And that's got my 20-show mark beat. You know, last week, and I forgot to mention it on the show, last week was the 20th Tom Harris Live show. There were a couple shows I didn't count because they didn't go out for whatever reason, but that was actually the 20th show. I had to go back and count. Anyway, Chris Reardon Has Decreed this week the following.
Stay there a second. I've got a slow cook. I must show you this.
All right, so that was Chris Reardon Has Decreed for the week. Now, while I've been going through all these clips, I found something really, really interesting. I discovered where Suco came from. Suco, who has a show, her show, on United Kingdom Radio here on Sunday at 5 p.m. UK time, which is 11 a.m. my time, I found Suco's first appearance on Chris's show. And here it is.
I have ordered something, boys and girls. It's very nice. It's like a long rectangular box, and in it are my large instrument, certain politicians, my Dyson Hoover, two dogs that look like Pluto, and Suco.
So that is where Suco came from, folks. I'm not even kidding. You have it right there in black and white. In black and white. What color are MP3s anyway? If somebody could tell me that, I'd like to know that. So anyway, so that was where Suco came from. He ordered her out of a catalog, along with several other objects. So very, very interesting. And I thought that she was just a listener. So that's just amazing. Anyway, that was Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week, and I hope you enjoyed it. Now, I don't have any more of the Judge for Yourself clips. And if anybody would like to hear more of them, they will need to email me and let me know, because I would have to go to my friend Scott Mitchell, and who was the one who provided them. And he has offered, very generously has offered, to make more of the Judge for Yourself clips for me. But I don't have any left right now. So if you're interested in doing that feature, you'll let me know. All right, so I need to step away from the microphone for just a second, and then I'll be right back. So here's a trail.
Hi, it's Suco. I'm wiping the slate clean. From here on in, it's a new, edgier Suco. More politics, more opinions, more debates. Wait, did I say that? Well, maybe just a soupçon of edge. Soupçon, you say? Look it up. What am I, your doormat? And no more kissing up to me for parcels from New York. I don't buy it. Wait, did you say I sound sexy? Well, perhaps something small. Listen Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time.
And that was the lovely Suco, as I just mentioned, and we have a call coming in. Hello on Skype.
Hello, can you hear me, Tom?
Yes, I can. Who is this?
It's Simon, speaking from United Kingdom on the not-so-sunny Isle of Wight.
All right, on the Isle of Wight. Now, you were just on Chris's show, right?
That's right, yeah. Sorry to use you as my second guinea pig, but I made such a fool of myself with Skype a few minutes ago, I was determined to see if I could get it right.
All right. Well, you sound great. I can hear you just fine.
Oh, good. Yeah, when you said you come from Chicago, I had to phone up and have a chat with you because I'm afraid I'm pretty sad, but my favorite American TV series was based in Chicago, I think.
Which show is that?
I'm not sure whether I'm brave enough to admit it. Should I just spit it out?
Oprah?
No. No, it was a Father Dowling mystery.
Okay. Now, that's not actually filmed here in Chicago, though.
Is it not? Oh, I thought it was.
I don't think they... Oh, maybe they did. I don't know. I don't think it's based here. Though you never know, you know, because they do film things here in Chicago. Right now they're filming, or that, maybe they've just finished, they were filming Transformers 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that is on the way, and they filmed part of the last Batman movie here.
Yeah, that's one extreme to another, isn't it? From the adventures of a Catholic parish priest to Transformers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, this is a very Catholic town. I mean, we have a lot of people, you know, because that, like, half of Chicago is Polish, the other half is Irish.
So, oh, right.
And then the other half is Hispanic. So you have all these Catholics, right? Catholic churches everywhere. Chris Reardon would love it here.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
He's still listening, obviously.
No, that's me.
Yeah, you see, I'm not up on all this radio trickery. I was meaning to have a word with Chris. I wouldn't mind having a go at presenting, but considering the total muck up I made of Skype, I'm not so sure. But you never know. Never say never.
Never say never. And I think that's very, very good advice.
Yeah, what you're saying about advice as well, I think the worst piece of advice I was ever given, and I'm sure there's lots of parents listening at the moment, I'm going to wince at me saying this, but school days are the happiest days of your life. What a load of rot that was.
Ah, yeah. I know that some people have that experience, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's just the way it goes. I mean, they wasn't horrendous, but everyone kept saying, oh, you know, they're the happiest days of your life and this, but they wasn't for me. I was in the big old bad world of job opportunities. At least you sort of battle along now. School days certainly wasn't the happiest days of my life.
Well, I have to say, you know, at the time when I was in school, I didn't think of them as the happiest days of my life. But when I get together with my best friend, who I actually went to high school with, and we're chatting, all we talk about is high school. So in a way, it really is. It really was the happiest days of our lives, I think.
How did your education go in? How many schools did you end up going in from sort of like from when you're a tiny tot to when you finish? Was it?
Oh, good Lord. It's somewhat different here in the States. So I would say I started out my education at Boulevard Elementary School in Cleveland Heights. Now that the original school that I went to doesn't exist anymore. And then I went there from kindergarten to third grade. And then, so that had been about age, you know, till about age nine. And then, went to 2 years to a private school, which was a Montessori school. And then I went to sixth grade at Milliken Elementary, which this is also in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Now I'm originally from Ohio. Mm. And then, seventh grade would be the first, I guess that you'd consider that secondary school. I'm not really sure. But I guess I was 11. I went to Milliken Elementary, Milliken Junior High. Sorry. And then we moved to Florida when I was 12. Mm-hmm. And then down there I went to Cypress Lake Middle School, Cypress Lake High School for 4 years. That was the longest I'd been at any school. And then,
you weren't a troublesome pupil, were you, by any chance?
What's that? Oh, no. Well, okay. Oh, boy, are you opening a can of worms here. I would say when I was younger, when I was a little kid, yes, I was very troublesome because I went into kindergarten at age five knowing how to read and, you know, knowing... was ahead of my peer group in a lot of things. The only thing I wasn't ahead of my peer group in was math, and I'm still not. I'm actually really poor at math because I've always been this sort of wordy person and not a mathy person. But Interesting. Yeah, I was probably a holy terror when I was a kid, but I think by the time I got to high school, I didn't really cause any trouble. No.
See, it's very strange. So if anyone's listening in America, they'll probably whinge at sort of like what I'm about to say. But it's funny. I've never been to America, but I have this idea. All the films we seem to get in this sort of like country always seem to show people in America living in these huge detached houses with big long front gardens and sort of. I'm sure it's not all like that. I'm sure there must be, no disrespect to your great country, but some. To use a sort of like English word, grottier bits as well, if you don't mind me saying.
Right. No, I don't mind. Well, we have, you know, it's of course very different here than in the UK, but there are of course areas that match exactly that description of, you know, large single family homes and with large yards. And I grew up in a house like that. I don't live in a place like that now. Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. It got very quiet for a moment. It's like, is he gone? Anyway, no. You know, I live today. Now, I live in Chicago. I live in the city of Chicago itself, and I live in a neighborhood where most of the accommodation here is multifamily housing, so apartment buildings, basically. And I live on the second floor of a 3-story building, so not like a skyscraper, you know. But there are, in my building, 12 apartments. And we're attached to several other buildings that each have 12 apartments. And it's kind of a U-shaped. And there's a courtyard in the middle. I think they call it an atrium. It's not really, atrium.
We have those in England as well, atriums.
It's not really an atrium, because to me an atrium is something different, but they call it the atrium. And then we have a gate at the front, which you have to have a key to get in. And that's sort of where I live. And that's the typical, very typical Chicago-style housing. But there certainly are, you know, like my boyfriend Pete, he lives in a house in the burbs, in the suburbs, and they have a fairly large backyard, but not a huge house. I mean, you know. Got about two, three bedroom house.
Yeah, I'm talking to you from a house in it's a little town, I guess, Ventnor in the Isle of Wight.
Uh-huh.
A lot bigger than a village, but I'm talking to you from a little semi-detached cottage that was built in around 1850.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah, what's the maintenance like on the building that old?
Well, if you saw the state of it, you'd see I don't do much maintenance at all. But no, it's like everything. The older the property, the more you have to keep on top of it. But they're built of flint, and they're built sort of like quite solid. So yeah, it's quite nice to live in a house that has a bit of character. You know, you wonder how many people and how many families have lived in it before I did. You know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the house I grew up in, actually, up in Cleveland, we actually lived in a house that. We were told when we moved in that it was built around 1890. But when I was doing some research on the neighborhood just a couple of years ago, actually, I was in the Western Reserve Historical Society, and I found some fire plats, which they're actually published by insurance companies, and they show every street in town. They show all the houses that are there, what the houses are made of, whether they're brick or wood or whatever. And they're made for the insurance companies to determine what kind of fire risk there is in each individual neighborhood. And I found one from 1880, and my old house was on there.
Oh, yeah.
So we were actually living in the house that it was from the 1880s. So, and that house had a lot of character, you have to say.
A lot of the buildings around where I live, well, I say a lot of them, it makes it sound like they're all falling down, which they're not. But, of course, a lot of this building would have seen the Second World War in and out. And we had, I think it was quite an experimental radar station on top of the downs behind my house.
All
right. So a lot of houses in Upper Ventnor did sort of, you know, they must have been built well, because they suffered quite a lot of bombing in the war or round about it, you know?
Yeah, I think they probably built houses a lot sturdier back in the past, you know? I mean, look at, you know, Windsor Castle. It's still standing.
That's right, despite several fires and what have you, but yeah, the Queen's still got her pad there in Windsor.
I told Chris this story. I don't know if I've ever told it on the show or not, that I almost got run over by a member of the royal family once.
Yeah, that's a claim to fame, isn't it?
It had nothing to do with the fire, though. No, I was walking in Windsor Great Park, one of my trips to the UK, and a car came zooming by really close, actually. While I was walking down, I was actually right by the road, and there were several. There was I think four cars, and they came down very, very quickly, kind of zooming down that road. Have you ever been to Windsor Great Park?
Yes, I have.
So you know the road that kind of leads right to the gate of the castle, kind of leads right straight out through the park, and that's where I was walking.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, I don't know who that was, but it was a long time ago, so it could have been anyone, I guess.
Perhaps they'd sent someone out from the castle to the McDonald's. There's a good McDonald's. Load of castle walls there, so.
Yeah. Well, it was the opposite direction from town.
Oh, yeah, I guess it would have been, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I must go. It's been great talking to you all the way from Chicago. And, you know, I'll do a bit of research, see if that Father Dowling was there.
Yeah, find out and let me know next week.
I will. Cheers, Ed. Good talking to you.
Bye. And that was Simon there. Thanks, Simon, for calling in. I loved that call. That was fantastic. Now, I know that they film a lot of things here in Chicago. Like I said, Dark Knight Returns was a part of that was filmed here. Spider-Man 2, quite a lot of that was filmed here. They did a lot of work on the L, downtown in the Loop. Now, and I was working down there at the time. They spent a couple of days filming down there at one of the L stations. And I think what they did is they mounted these cameras on top of the L train. Now, the L, for those who don't, it's like the subway, but it goes above ground. And sometimes it goes below ground as well, but most of the time it's above ground. And they filmed a scene in Spider-Man 2 of the train going around the Loop. And you see the buildings going by. And what they did was they spliced this together in a way, I guess they did it with computer animation, that basically repeats the same buildings over and over again. And there's the scene in Spider-Man 2 where they're fighting on top of the subway train. He's fighting Dr. Octopus. And it's really kind of neat to watch that scene in the movie, because you can see, it's like, I know that building. Oh, wait, there it is again. There it is again. You're not supposed to be paying attention to the buildings, folks. You're supposed to be paying attention to the movie. But it was so familiar because I used to work down there in the Loop. And so it's cool. And then all this Transformers 3 stuff going on. I haven't really been part of any of it, but it has disrupted things downtown. I think they're done now. I haven't heard anything for a while. And then we had another incident when I was still working down there where they shut off our street. They closed the street off by where I worked, and they told people to stay off Jackson Boulevard because they were doing something with helicopters. And it was for Patrick Swayze's TV show, The Beast. The late Patrick Swayze there. So that was really interesting. They filmed a lot of that in Chicago as well. Anyway, the Skype address here, once again, United Kingdom Radio, if you'd like to call in. And if you want to call in from the UK, it's 020-0387-1488. Okay, so I'm going to move on. And if nobody else is going to call in, I'm going to go move on to Today in History, Oscar's favorite feature of the program. And I do see that Oscar's online today. Hello, Oscar, if you're listening. Feel free to call in, by the way. So Today in History, October 2nd, in 1535, Jacques Cartier discovered Montréal, which is now, of course, the site of Montreal in Canada. Oh, incidentally, next week on this program, we're having a Canadian special. Hooray! So feel free to call in next week and talk to us about Canada, because we're going to talk all about Canada next week. That'll be fun. And I'm hoping to get some Canadian callers. So if Ian Duff, if you're out there and you want to be on the show next week and talk about Canada, that would be fantastic. I'm going to talk a little bit about my own travels in Canada. In 2000, I made a big road trip across Canada from west to east. And I didn't go everywhere, but I'll talk a little bit about that, and we can talk about things that are Canadian, and that'll be exciting next week on Tom Harris Live, our Canada special, folks. So, here we go. In 1836, after a 5-year voyage, Charles Darwin returned to the UK. This was the Beagle expeditions, where he did most of his work on evolution. In 1895, the first newspaper comic strip was published. That would have been The Yellow Kid by Charles O'Call, I believe. In 1935, Italy attacked Abyssinia. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of historians consider that invasion of Abyssinia to be the first battle of World War II. It's a few years before most people say that World War II started, but that's when Italy attacked Abyssinia, which is now known as Ethiopia, by the way. In 1950, the first appearance of Charlie Brown and Friends in the comic strip Little Folks, which was actually renamed Peanuts a few years later. It appeared in 9 newspapers back at that time. I'm sure it's appeared even now, you know, even years now after Charles Schulz's death, that strip is still appearing. That must be a cash cow for his family. I have to say, the merchandising money alone would be huge. In 1959, the TV show The Twilight Zone premiered on CBS television. With Rod Serling. I'm Rod Serling. Yeah. All right. That's a terrible imitation. That's like the worst imitation ever. Sorry. Strike that from your memory, folks. In fact, when I upload the show to my own site, I'm going to just cut that bit out. Okay. And in 1967, Thurgood Marshall became the first African-American Supreme Court justice here in the States. Can you believe it took till the 60s? So anyway, and famous birthdays today. In 1492, Richard III, a horse, my kingdom for a horse. For those of you who are Monty Python fans there. In 1890, Julius Marx was born. We know him today better as Groucho Marx. One of my favorite comedians, actually. I love the Marx Brothers. You look back at a lot of these old-timey, the old-timey movie stars, comedians and so forth. There's a few that really stand out for me. And the Marx Brothers is one of those properties that really stands out to me. And, you know, the early Marx Brothers films are so fantastic. Now, some of the later ones are kind of the ones that came much later. But those early ones were absolutely fantastic. And so I love Groucho. And, of course, he kept his wit all the way up to the end. And he was doing his game show, You Bet Your Life. And he always had something interesting to say, Groucho. Another comedian, great, in 1895, Bud Abbott of Abbott and Costello. I don't even know if you guys in the UK don't know who Abbott and Costello are. And you consider, you know, how long they were in the public eye here in America. They were, you know, they started out, I believe, on the radio back in the 1930s. And eventually got, you know, they were going all the way through the 60s, I think. In 1904, author Graham Greene. In 1945, Neil Tennant of the Pet Shop Boys. Also in 1945. Oh, no, this is different. Somebody else was born in 1945 as well. I'm forgetting who that was now. I didn't write it down. I'm trying to keep this short. In 1948, Avery Brooks, the actor, is best known for his role as Captain Sisko on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I have to say, excuse me, we have a lot of Star Trek fans who listen to the show, and I think a lot of Star Trek fans in general on United Kingdom Radio. And for some reason, they all seem to dislike Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I don't really understand why. Maybe it's because it's a show you have to pay attention to. And it actually has a thread that goes through the entire series. And sometimes if you miss a few, you know, it's not a show that you can watch random episodes of and know what's going on. And maybe that's what they don't like about it. But anyway, I love Deep Space Nine. I think it's the best of the Star Trek shows. I know. Sacrilege. My least favorite one is Voyager. I never liked Voyager. Had boring characters. Anyway, continuing on, I have two more. In 1957, Sting from the Police. Sting! They could believe his name is Gordon Sumner. And in 1952, Clive Barker, the horror writer, Clive Barker, was born. So that was Today in History. Hope you all enjoyed that. I know, it's a lame thing, you know. But it fills time, and that's what's important. Once again, if anyone would like to call and talk about good advice or bad advice, they are more than welcome to. Now, the worst advice I ever had. I was thinking about this earlier, trying to figure out the worst advice that I'd ever had. And no, it wasn't to start doing a show on United Kingdom Radio. No, that was good advice. I remember it like it was yesterday. Well, it practically was yesterday. But I think the worst piece of advice that I was ever given was to buy one of these spark drives. Does anybody remember spark drives? No, I didn't think you did. That's because they were horrible. They were just pieces of junk. And what the idea was, it was like a zip drive. And this was right at the point when zip drives were becoming available as well. So it was kind of a competition with the zip drive people. And there was this thing called a spark drive. And it was the drive itself wasn't that expensive. I think it was about $70. But the cartridges, oh my God, they were like $90 each. Now, the good thing is like they were like mini hard drives. And they could hold 2 gigs of memory. Now, your average memory stick today is going to hold more memory than one of these spark drives. But you have to remember, this was in 1998. About there. And zip drives would only hold like 500 meg. So, you know, this was huge. I mean, and you could get different size spark disks and so forth. But you couldn't buy the disks individually. You had to buy them in a 3-pack. And what the problem with these spark drives were, was that, you know, they would work great. You know, I thought it was great when I first got it. And, you know, I was saving a lot of music on it. Unfortunately, I have to admit, I was saving some porn on it. But the spark drives they had this problem of having a head crash problem. So it would just, this fault in it, and they would break really, really easily. And then you would have to send them back and get them repaired. And because everybody had problems with these spark drives. And indeed, eventually, there was a class action lawsuit that I was part of that we got partially refunded. You know, what they did is they had, you know, when they announced the class action lawsuit against, I think it was Symantec. I think that was who was actually marketing these things. I don't remember now. It's been a long time. But that was the worst advice I'd ever had, was to buy one of those spark drives. Anyway, you had to package up the spark drive and any disks you had to send it back to them, and then they would give you some sort of remuneration for it. And I think I got back, now I spent something like $400 on the spark drive and disks for it. And I think I got back a check for like $60. So not a very good deal all around. So if anybody tells you you really need to buy this or that, you know, just wait. It's that way with a lot of things, I'm sure. Now, the best piece of advice now I think that I've ever received, I don't even remember who gave me this advice, but it is sort of a truism as well, was, you know, don't care what other people think of you. I think that's a really, really important piece of advice. And I think you should give that piece of advice to everybody. What other people think of you doesn't matter that much. Not to say it doesn't matter at all. Of course it matters a little bit. You know, when you're, of course, your interactions with people, obviously, you know, you have to is that the telephone? It's not the telephone. Thank goodness for that, because I don't have a mute or anything on my phone. And I would hate to have to take a live phone call on here. I never thought of that. I spent so long with my phone being broken that I never really thought about what I would do if somebody actually called. Ooh, I hate to think of it. So nobody call me on my landline while I'm doing the show, because I really don't want to have to deal with the phone ringing and me having to answer it just to keep it from ringing. Anyway, so I was talking about, but I think the best piece of advice I had, you know, don't care what other people think of you. Don't make decisions based on what you think other people might think of it. Do make your decisions in life based on what you need or want to do. Follow what you need or want to do. Don't worry so much about what other people think of it, because there's always going to be naysayers who are trying to kind of mold you into a direction that they want you to go into. I talk about this a lot, actually. It's very much tied in with some of the things I've talked about being manipulated by the media. And I see a lot more of that today now that everybody is so plugged into the mass media. Maybe a little bit less in the past. But caring what other people think of you is not a way to run your life, because everybody has a different opinion. You're going to be going back and forth, you know, trying to please everybody. You're not going to please anybody, and you're going to make yourself miserable at the same time. So, you know, I think that Shakespeare said it best, you know, to your own self be true. And I definitely would agree with that, which is not to say that, you know, that there you can't get good advice from people, because I think that there's all sorts of good advice you could get from other people. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play another couple of trails here, and I shall be right back.
Hello, join me, Sean Richards, on United Kingdom Radio. I'll have some weird and wonderful chit-chat, jokes, funny facts, phone calls and Skype calls, and if you're all good, a competition. No prizes, it's just for fun. So come and join me on United Kingdom Radio every Saturday between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. See you soon.
The mouth of the time on United Kingdom Radio.
Tell me about the best moments, Lee, in your life.
Well, of course, it's being a part of United Kingdom Radio, isn't it?
Have you passed any recent exams?
Oh, yeah. I now know how to test equipment.
Isn't that one of them one-day courses you go on, though?
Yeah, well, it was an exam. I passed it. I thought it was just, you go up to the object, you pat it, and that's it. That's what I thought.
Yep, that works. Pat on the top of the kettle or pat on the microwave and go, yep, that works. That's fine. I was watching The Real Hustle, and there was one scam that they had to do, and it was to replace the chassis number inside the car.
Oh, yeah, with a sticker.
Yes, did you see that one? Did you see what happened?
Yeah. That was very good.
Scandalous, wasn't it? But it can happen, though.
They conned both ends, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They conned the woman who was selling it and the buyers.
Yeah.
What do you look for in a relationship, Lee? What sort of brought you to her?
Well, her feet, really.
I thought you were going to say something sarcastic like that. I knew it. I absolutely knew it. I'm going to ask you the best moments in your life, but I already know one of them, and that would have to be your daughter, Jade.
The day we got our daughter.
Yeah, that must have been a fantastic day for you.
For those who don't know, my daughter is adopted from China.
How did you research adopting a Chinese baby? Was there much research into it? Or?
You know, it was a new thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly new. When we were in China, we went there in 95 for vacation, because we went to Japan to visit my family, and then decided, well, we're so close, why don't we go to China? So we did that.
Mm-hmm.
We were in China, and the children are just so beautiful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one child policy, so you don't see too many girls.
Mm-hmm.
They want the boys because they have no social security system. This is all changing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is back in 1995. And Jade knows this. We visited the site where she was left at 3 days old. She was left outside a government office. And everything we did had to be notarized,
mm-hmm.
and then authenticated on the state level. on the county level and then on the state level too.
The Mouth of the Time on United Kingdom Radio.
And that was Mr. Mike Cullen there, the Mouth of the Tyne, and he is on the station. I think he's on vacation at the moment, actually. I probably shouldn't have played that. And, of course, we had before that, excuse me, goodness me, we had Sean Riches, who will be following me at 5 p.m. UK time. Sean will be on, and I hope you all tune in to him, and maybe he'll win a prize. I think he's giving away money, folks. I'm hoping to get out and about today because I've been really jonesing to get out and get out there and be outdoors. And maybe that makes me weird, but I don't think so. Anyway, going back to good advice and bad advice, I've often been asked for advice, and I try to be as I try to give good advice, but I don't know if that always has been the case. You know, and one of the things that I think has changed. Now, I think I talked a little bit earlier about people being overprotected. And I think another factor to bring in that is that people now are very suspicious. I don't know if this is something that's going on everywhere, whether it's just here in the States, but people are... I think progressively in this country, more suspicious of authority, more suspicious of people who would give them advice. And you don't really hear too much now about mentoring, the sort of mentoring type of relationship that used to be very common in this country. People would have a protege and people who they would be sort of trying to guide into a higher level of success in a particular field or whatever. That seems to have gone out of fashion. And of course, with the increase of the mass media, you have a lot more opportunity for people to get bad advice from all sorts of different places. And I would really like to see, I think that it would be a good thing, more of the sort of mentoring type relationships. And I kind of think of myself in a way, a mentor to some of the younger presenters on here. I don't really talk to them that much, I'll be honest with you. I talk to Mikey more than anyone else. But, when they actually ask questions, it means, they're asking somebody like me. I mean, they're asking somebody who's basically a stranger. And, whatever happened to, that one person that you can go to? I don't think parents are always very well suited to that. And I think it depends on, completely depends on the topic. But the sort of cultivating these relationships with people, I don't mean romantic relationships, but cultivating friendships with people who are older than you are, who maybe have a little bit more life experience than you do. And I think people have become very suspicious of this sort of an arrangement because they think that, the older person is a predator or whatever. But I really think that it's something that we should look at as a society and try to reconcile the good that this can do. Because the last person that young people should be going to for advice is other young people. Not to say that the advice of young people is useless, because it's not. But you would ideally, of course, would have somebody with more life experience who's kind of guiding young people along. And I think that's one of the things that our society has largely lost in a lot of cases just because of paranoia and being overly suspicious of people. And what a shame that is. Anyway, it's kind of your last chance to call in, folks. The phone number in the UK is 020-0387-1488. Or you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. Let us know what the best advice you've had is, or the worst advice you've had is. Did you take some really bad advice, like I did, with a spark drive? Yeah, you just can't trust technology. You just can't. And of course, looking at all this, it's been really busy this last week. We've been trying to get all this stuff set up. And kudos to Chris and Terry for getting this automated system all set up. And then we have the news now at the top of the hour. And I didn't even listen to the news because I was too busy preparing for the program. But it is really exciting, and I think that we're moving into a new phase here at United Kingdom Radio, and trying to get. Chris is saying that it's possible that Sean might not be here. Now I think that he was planning on going up to Norwich and visiting with Lee Mills and possibly doing a show from there. But we haven't heard anything from Sean, so we don't know whether or not he's going to be on the show today or not. So hopefully he will be. If not, then we will have a pre-recorded program of one sort or another. And that'll be all very exciting as well. All right. So we're getting to the last few minutes of the show here. And I'm all out of topics. So if you'd like to call in, please feel free to do so. I think I was telling the story about earlier about how I got spoofed this week. Now that's something that I've been told. That was good advice that I'd been given that I didn't take, was to be careful when you're buying stuff online to make sure that you're not getting spoofed. But this was a situation, because I can tell you exactly when it happened too, of when you're buying something online, it's always a good idea to refresh the page where you're entering your credit card details before you enter your details, because the way spoofs work is they give you a dummy web page. It looks almost exactly like the legitimate page, but the web address on that page will be different. It's an automatic redirect of some sort, and you type in your credit card details into the wrong page. And what will happen is you'll click that button that submits your details and nothing will happen. And if that happens, it could be that you are on a spoof page. It's not the real page. But it helps to know what the payment page for the site you're going on is. So, for example, if you're buying something from Amazon.com, I don't think you can do this on Amazon, but I think there's some sites that are more secure than others, obviously. You want to make sure that the payment page you go to is an Amazon.com payment page. Because otherwise, you know, if it's Amazon.com or Amabomb.com, then you might be looking at something a bit suspicious, folks. So I learned my lesson. I mean, you know, and I have actually been warned about this in the past. Certainly have. And I don't usually buy a lot of stuff online. But that was an experience that I don't wish on anybody. Now, thankfully, my bank was very attentive, and they realized that there were these charges coming through that weren't from me. Somebody using my credit card details, but a different name and a different email address. And why is it always that the people who are misusing your credit card are always going on the porn sites? Somebody actually was going on to porn sites using my credit card details. Now, I would never, ever go on a porn site, you know, because you could get lots of free porn anyway. But just amazing, you know, and so it's something to watch out for. That's my piece of advice for you folks, is to, you know, not to, well, my advice is to be careful buying stuff online. I guess that's a piece of good advice. I don't know. I guess you could choose not to take my good advice and, you know, go and get yourself spoofed the way I did, you know, and there's really not a lot you can do about it, you know, so just be careful, folks. I'm always talking about, you know, checking things for yourself and verifying information. And, it's even the best of us can get fooled every once in a while, right? And so I don't think there's any shame in that. But it was very inconvenient, and it's not something that I would wish on anybody. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up the show now. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's been absolutely wonderful to talk to you all. I'm going to try to get outside and do some stuff outdoors, hopefully get to snuggle with my sweetie, and hopefully everybody will have a wonderful week. I am working on a Tom Harris USA show. Hopefully that will be ready by Wednesday, and I'll post it on the Tom Harris USA website, because I am working on that. And I will talk to you all next week here on United Kingdom Radio. Hopefully we'll have Sean coming up in a few minutes. If not, then I guess we won't. See you next week, everyone.